I have Jay Belcastro, superintendent of Lake Superior School District, in the studio live with me. Thanks so much for being here, Jay.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And it's been quite a while, I'm thinking, since we've had you here. So really good to have you. And there's always so much going on at the school. Mm-hmm. So let's talk first about probably what's the most important, big on everyone's mind, funding. It's that time of year when you're looking at budgets and negotiating with unions. Tell us what we need to know about this, or what we are interested in.
Sure, absolutely. Everybody knows that, you know, inflation has been a real thing, and it's affected every, you know, individual, families, and certainly businesses and schools. And so from the perspective, there has been a lot around the implications of inflation, as well as the historic monies that school districts have received. And I, as great as it was to receive a 4% on our student formula and 2% for this year with the adjustment of inflation, which is a new thing, that still leaves our district unfortunately short. What's interesting about the way schools are funded is they're funded about certainly amongst how many students we have in the building. And school districts across the state have also leaned heavily on operating levies to close the gap, if you will, financially, if they don't have enough money coming in from the state to cover the expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the Lake Superior School District and many other districts north of Hinckley that ironically all have, not ironically, all have the same thing, which is high seasonal rec.
Right.
When people talk about going north or heading north, where do they come? They come to Lake County, they come to St. Louis County, Itasca, Cook. And so when you're dealing with high seasonal rec properties, unfortunately, the school district doesn't benefit directly from the taxes paid on seasonal rec. Currently across the state, there are $42 million collected in seasonal rec properties. In Lake County alone, just about $800,000 in seasonal rec. We have a lot of people that love coming up to our area, go to their hunting shacks, go to their cabins. But unfortunately, we don't get to capitalize on that, on those taxes. So when we go to the taxpayer in Lake County and say, will you assist with our operations, our day-in-day expenses, unlike our building bond, which is spread amongst the three taxpayers, the commercial, industrial, the residential, and seasonal rec, operation levies are just in the resident and the commercial. And so districts that have high seasonal rec also have in common the challenges of getting operating levies passed. MREA, which is the Minnesota Rural Education Association, on their website has a map showing where districts across the state have operating levies. As you can imagine, the Seven County Metro, heavily red with a lot of operating levies on their books. What do they also not have? A lot of seasonal rec properties.
Right.
And so I've been working with Senator Hochschild. I had conversations with our representatives talking about what can we do to at least get equitable across the state of Minnesota? Why are we penalized, or why should our taxpayers be penalized when the seasonal rec piece is not added into that equation? So that's...
Now, just a quick question. Sure. Is there a legislative solution here?
Well, like, that's what we're hoping for.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, we certainly know the forecast wasn't as great as it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that everything that has been told to us is the budget forecast is going to be tight. That doesn't mean we don't stop working on it. So, like I said, I've had conversations with our three legislators talking about the problem. And then in addition to that, we're down students. You know, coming through COVID, we're down a considerable amount of students. So it's the perfect storm of not generating the revenue on those bodies that were in our buildings before, now are not, and then not having an operating levy. We're solely then on the reliance of what we get from the state. So when employees come in and say, geez, we've hit with inflation, and they ask for a raise, nobody disagrees that a good raise is not important. But unfortunately, we're stuck in the middle of saying, we need dollars to operate our buildings. We need to ensure that we can make payroll. We have to have a fund balance that does do that. And currently we have three paychecks of fund balance, meaning that we could, if the state stopped making payments to the Lake Superior School District, we could go three paychecks and then the district would no longer have a fund balance. So it's an interesting dynamic. You know, we're working through our different unions on this. You know, there's been a lot of discussion across the state of this historic dollars and get it in the pockets of employees, which we don't disagree. We don't disagree with that. But unfortunately, there's the realistic aspect of you're in the checkout line at Super One. You have $20 in the pocket. Your bill comes to $24. Something has to go back. And that's what that's kind of the analogy in which we're playing right now.
So not a super fun time to be of course, we'd all like to be here at times of expansion, and it's just not that time. Would you say this is, I mean, I guess it's different than the problems during COVID, but that always brings me to, you know, when there's not enough to go around, it seems inevitable that tensions build.
Yes.
So it's maybe a bit of a hard time to be coming to the table.
It is. There's no question. And just watching different unions in and outside of education, and what I was seeing, you know, last year, I just really had a pit in my stomach thinking this is going to be difficult, and it certainly has.
Well, we hope that it can be worked through in some kind of a good way. And thank you for speaking of it candidly here on the radio. On a happier note, you're also doing some strategic planning. You want to talk? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yes, that I think is really, really critical. The last time the district went through a strategic plan was back in 2012-13. And so we have hired the Minnesota School Board Association strategic planner, Ms. Gail Gilman. We had some great listening sessions back a couple of weeks ago where we had it was so great listening to the students. So we had our first listening session was students from both William Kelly and Silver Bay and Two Arbors High School, grades 6+. Really talking about what they would like to see in their schools.
And what was fascinating.
fascinating is the exact word to describe. And really what came from that is how environmentally concerned they are with our operation, talking about why are we using plasticware in the mornings? Why aren't we recycling more? Why don't we have just things that would make our school more environmentally friendly? That resonated really, really loudly. And so from that perspective, now as we're building into the strategic plan, how do we adopt new ways to operate our business that we can take that all into consideration? And the other funny one is that Bosco sticks off the menu, that's a big deal. So they were they wanted us to know bring back the Bosco sticks.
Okay. You just never know what you're going to hear.
Right. But then from that, the strategic plan, we had teachers, we had school board members, administration, and then also external stakeholders come in. And from that, all that information was gathered through the listening sessions. There were surveys for external and internal people. And then two nights ago, we actually had our first strategic planning meeting, which I was able to give the state of the district address, which that's the first time I was asked to do that. And so it was really interesting for me to spend 20 minutes and the work prior to the presentation to really dial into what I think are the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats of the Lake Superior School District. So it was really fun for me to speak on our district, which I always love to do, but to have a real focus on where the district is at this point and where we need to go moving forward.
And can you speak to who is the group that is doing the strategic planning? Who are they comprised of? And could a listener possibly get involved in some way?
Yeah, absolutely. Gil Gilman from MSBA is our trainer. The strategic plans are open to the public, the planning meetings. The strategic planning committee has been established, and so we'll be meeting three more times, but certainly anybody that was interested in coming in and observing could certainly do that.
Okay. And is this ongoing? I know you're always planning ahead, but is there always strategic planning ahead, or is this a periodic thing that happens?
Well, I hope that we adopt this as just our operation of business, because it is so important. Education, as any industry, can get so fragmented.
Yeah.
Through this process, the goal is what are our goals? What is our mission? And then creating a laser focus to accomplish that versus just kind of being adrift and trying to tackle everything. You know, I think that
whatever crisis is right in front of you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So as we have all of our stakeholders at the table listening to that, I'm all about collaboration and getting those voices to say, here's what we need to do. And then let's get laser focused on accomplishing that.
Yeah. And that when you talked about the kids wanting the more environmentally friendly practices, I couldn't help think of the IRA, which is a big bill out there that specifically has a lot of stuff just for schools, funding for schools. So hopefully that will become part of it. Do you know if there's been any discussion of that in particular?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Let's talk about down to some particulars. We hear a lot about sports in general, but not as much about theater. And this fall's Springs One Act Play in Two Harbors has made it to the state. Let's hear about that.
Oh, it's so happy for our student performers. And so, you know, One Act Play is a big, big deal. I watched it with my daughter going through school, and it was such an important part of her life. And to be able to see our students in that performance, to be able to succeed the way they did. So we've got a lot of seasoned performers, a lot of students coming in with experience. And in fact, one of the lead, I remember watching him as a sixth grader on the stage, which, talk about courage, right? To be in front of your peers in grade six. He's got a lead role now. But
what year is he now?
He is a junior this
year. Okay, so four years ago.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. But they won their subsection, which was fantastic. Then they came back and won the section, which then brought them to the state one-act performance that took place yesterday. And so what we heard yesterday was the students felt really, really good about their performance, but I can't tell you how they ranked amongst the top eight in the state. But wow, big kudos to the director, Mr. Freund, and all of his student performers.
Yeah.
Such a great thing to see our kids on stage. The courage that it takes to do that and to pull off that level of success against, you know, a lot of schools in our region, Aiken, Esko, Carleton, Cloquet, you know, for us to come out on top is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And these are one-act plays. There's a time limit to them, right? There's a lot of specifics.
Right. There's a lot of specifics. There's a designated time, a number of performers, you know, certain specifics that you can and cannot have on stage. So there's a lot that goes into that. And so selecting the right performance, looking at the student performers you have, what matches up best, and then just the time to prepare. But like so many things in our building, if you want a place, if there's something you have passion of, there's probably a place for you to develop that. And for our young performers, what a great opportunity. And curious to know where this takes them in the future.
Right.
You know? I mean, who knows?
Right. We'll follow these kids if we possibly can. How many are involved in this?
You know, I would say that on stage, 10, and then there's a number of students that are in support behind the stage.
Yeah. And that backstage stuff is also career-forming
kind
of experience.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's really fun to hear about. And then finally, let's give us a little update on your podcast.
Yeah. So if you want to get up to speed on kind of the goings-on within the Lake Superior School District, it is on our district website. So the Lake Superior School District website, under on the first page under District Discussions, you will find different podcasts that I've done. The last one that I did was with our retiring principal, Miss Julie Benson, who retired last week. So after 36 years of education, a majority of that in the Lake Superior School District, we said goodbye to Julie, and so I spent an hour with her, kind of talking about what brought her into education, some of the what brought her into administration, and then just a really fun conversation in regards to, you know, how we got through COVID, kind of some of the craziness as she and I were a team for so many years as principal AP. But yeah, there's a lot of things. I will be grabbing one of our lead performers next week to talk about that came out of the state. I want to get him on the podcast. And so look forward to that one. District Discussions on our district website.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Jay. I think that wraps up the most immediate things. We'll hope to have you on again before too long. Until then, you take care.
Thank you.
That's Jay Belcastro, superintendent of the Lake Superior School District.